Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on the prohibition of going to fortune tellers, astrologers, diviners, geomancers, and those who take omens by casting stones, bali, etc. We'll explain this. Today's hadith also explains these things. So what we learn from here is that the information of the unseen, the knowledge of the unseen, is only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one ayat of the Quran, in Surah Naml, Allah Ta'ala mentions, كُلَّا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, tell the people that none in the heavens and the earth has knowledge of the unseen except Allah. So yeah, there isn't anybody that can foresee and foretell and fortune tell and predict all these sort of things. This is not permissible. Yes, there are two different issues. One is where you have a person that is looking at some signs, and based on the signs, he is explaining what to expect in the future. For example, the weather forecast. Now, we won't say that this is fortune telling. There are people that are experienced with weather. They look at atmospheric pressure, they look at the cloud buildup, they look at the wind direction, they look at various weather factors, and accordingly, they're looking at signs, and now they're predicting what you can expect via looking at signs. So this is not fortune telling. So they're looking at the signs, and via the experience that they have in this field, they can tell you that tomorrow will be a very hot day, Thursday may be a cloudy day, partly cloudy, Friday you can expect rain. So that is not fortune telling. There's no harm in that. Or for example, an engineer, he sees a builder that is putting a building, and he sees that he's using a very thin slab. He's not using enough steel in there, the concrete is not right, and he tells the builder that this building is going to collapse. Now, that's not fortune telling. The person is looking at, as an expert, he's looking at the building, he's looking at what's being used, and based on that, he's explaining what will happen in the future, obviously according to his knowledge. So this is not fortune telling. So there's a difference between a person that is looking at signs, and based on the signs, he's explaining what will happen, what he expects or anticipates. Like that, you'll get a doctor, he'll look at a child, he'll see that a few pimples have broken out on the hand. So he suspects that this is chicken pox. So he'll tell the father of the child that you can expect that the whole back will become full of these pimples, and the body will spread with pimples, and after a while it will disappear. This is the medication you need to take. This is how you need to treat it. For example, so he looked at some signs, and then he explained what to expect. So this is not fortune telling. Another is where a person has already, the action or the event has already occurred, and the people don't have knowledge of it. So one person is telling or explaining that there's an event that has occurred, and this is what you can expect to see in the future based on the results of this event. They also, that is not fortune telling. The people don't know about it. One person has knowledge about it based on something that has already occurred, and he's just telling the people this is what you can expect. For example, out of town crops are coming into the town, and this person knows that this year the crops all got, for example, damaged, got wet, and this crops won't be good because of that, or there's insects or something may have attacked the crop. So he's telling the people in the town that this year the crops that are going to come in, they're going to be of defective quality. Now, he's not fortune telling. The event has already occurred. He's just explaining to the people what to expect based on a existing occurrence. So that also is not fortune telling. Fortune telling is where people now tell a person what's going to happen in the future, working with guesswork, and working with all these things that we spoke about, the stars, and working with the diviners, and working with superstitious people, all these sort of things. This is not permissible in Shariat. So as we're going on, we'll explain. So today's hadith, عن صفية بنت أبي عبيد عن بعض أزواج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من عتى عرافا فسأله عن شيء فصدقه لم تقبل له صلاة أربعين يوما رواه مسلم. Hazrat Safiya bint Abi Ubaid relates from one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, one who goes to a diviner, we'll explain this just now, one who goes to a diviner and asks him something, and then he believes in what the diviner is saying, then his salah will not be accepted for 40 days. Here, the ulama explained that doesn't mean the person has to repeat his salah now for 40 days. But the fact that he loses the reward of that salah for 40 days shows how serious the crime is. So what is this now, a person going to a diviner? So here a diviner is a person interprets certain things. For example, a person has lost his goods, his car got stolen, his money got stolen. Now he goes to this diviner and this diviner will tell him, you know, it's there, this thing that got stolen is lying in location B in Amlazi. Now he's using some type of guesswork to try and pinpoint where that stolen goods are. Person is trying to give the location of hidden matters. This is in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, where the thing is gone, person, nobody knows about it. You're going to a diviner to try and work out these things. So this is, nowadays you see often advert there, lost lover. How to get the lost lover back, as though this person has got a special unseen force that will find that lover and bring him back. So all these things we have to be very, very careful of. The beauty of Islam is it took us away from shirk completely, and we don't go back to shirk. Shirk means that we're attributing a partner to Allah. What knowledge is exclusive for Allah, we leave it exclusive for Allah. We don't attribute it to anybody else. It doesn't matter what claims a person may make. So that knowledge is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By attributing knowledge to something that's exclusive to Allah ta'ala is a form of shirk. Why? Because this knowledge is only for Allah ta'ala, and we are now equating it and giving it to someone else. We'll do one more hadith. عن قبيصة بن المخارق رضي الله تعالى عن قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول العيافة والطيرة والطرق من الخبط رواه أبو داود بإسناد حسن. حضرت قبيصة بن المخارق رضي الله عنه narrates that I heard رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, predicting the future by drawing lines, taking omens from the flight of birds, and the casting of stones is shaitanic, is satanic. To explain this, that in the time of Jahiliyyah, they would have these practices. They would have these practices of predicting the future by drawing lines. So a person, what he would do, an iyafa is a fortune teller. So they would go to this fortune teller. What he would do, he would draw a few pieces of lines on the ground, soft ground. Then he'll erase them two at a time, until only one or two remain. And if they happen to be two that remains, it is believed to be a sign of good luck. If there's only one that remained, now there's bad luck. So now the fortune teller will tell them that your luck, your future is bad. You don't have a good future. Or sometimes they would come for a specific incident, and accordingly he'll tell them, no, this, for example, should I go on a journey or should I not go on a journey? Now he'll tell them, no, based on the lines that I drew here, it doesn't look that it'll be a good journey that you'll have. There may be some problems. So he will predict, or he'll fortune tell based on drawing some type of lines. And this is not hard to believe also nowadays in our times. There's so many different superstitious things that people do. You may hear that people will say, touch wood. Now, what has touch wood got to do with anything? Or they'll say, cross your fingers. Now they'll be waiting for some news. And this has got nothing to do. All these superstitious actions, we should not have anything to do with it. This has nothing to do as far as our deen is concerned. So this was the superstitious belief that they had in that time, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and brought a complete halt to it. The other thing was explained was by predicting or taking omens from the flight of birds. Now what omen? Either you're going to take a good omen that something good is going to happen or something bad is going to happen. So what they would do is they would release birds on a flight. So birds would be released. And now if you see birds, how they take off, they all take off in one direction, either to the right or to the left. So if the birds took off to the right, for example, they would say, now this means good luck. They would take good omen from the flight of the birds, the direction. And if the birds took off altogether on the left, then they'll say, now there's bad luck coming to us. So like that, they would take omens from the flight of birds. As they would release the birds and the birds would fly, that's the omens that they would take. So this also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought an end to. And the third was casting of stones. In other words, they would cast a stone, and if it fell in a certain place or in a certain manner it would fall, then like that they would take good luck from it or take bad luck from the way that stone fell. So all this is superstitious behavior. We are taught to stay away from it completely. What we should be doing is put our complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should put our complete faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah ta'ala in all matters. Don't look for diviners and don't look for superstitious things, because these are things that can affect the iman of a person. Therefore, we must be very, very careful. Anything that can affect the iman, we must be very far away from it. Nowadays, you find some people will say these stones got special healing powers. special healing powers. So Muslims also, you'll find they'll take the certain stones and they'll put it in the house. Why we believe that this power thing, anything that can affect the iman of a person, we must be very careful. We must believe Allah Ta'ala is the one that heals. We don't need any stone there. We don't need to go back to idol worship. Even if there's a slight resemblance to idol worship in this action, we must be very careful. It will affect our iman. And we don't know at the time of maut whether our mind will go to some type of stone, some type of idol, or some type of superstitious thing. Our iman should be that our belief and our yaqeen, even Allah Ta'ala in our good health, in our sick health, and especially at the time of death, must only go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi.